realize. We know that there's something wrong because each year we're willing to get those ashes put on our forehead, reminding us that we are but dust. And so how do we rise from the ashes? And so today we continue our sermon series called From the Ashes. And this is a series really to help us focus on hearing the voice of Jesus, who is calling us into deeper life with him. He wants all of us to go deeper than we are right now. So turn your Bibles now to John chapter 3. We're looking at our gospel reading today, and it's verses 1 through 16, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Now, this is a familiar passage, I think, for most of us. So in the dark of the night, we have a Pharisee named Nicodemus who came to Jesus, and presumably he arrived by night because he didn't want others from his group to see him. Or perhaps he was sent by the group, and they asked that nobody see him. Now, there were only about 6,000 Pharisees living throughout Israel at this time, and yet they had a disproportionate influence on the lives of the nation. And that's because they were believed to be the most accurate interpreters of the law. Nicodemus was not just a Pharisee, but he was also part of the ruling elite. So his name Nicodemus means conqueror of the people. And it was actually a rare name for Palestinian Jews of the first century. He most likely belonged to the Gurion family because it's in that name that we find the name Nicodemus, a very wealthy and very prominent Jerusalem family of Pharisaic allegiance. And as a member of the Gurion family, he was born into an honorable, influential, aristocratic family who, along with the high priests, composed the ruling class of first century Judaism. Now, the Pharisees thought that Jesus was a fake. He was deceiving the people into thinking that he was a prophet or even perhaps the Messiah. And they believed that the people couldn't see him for who he truly was because there was a curse upon them. But they who knew the law, who studied it and lived it, could see through the ploys of Jesus. You know, have you ever been in a position in your life where you are convinced you are completely right, only discover that you were wrong? So there was a bishop of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ who was sure that he was right. More than a century ago, he proclaimed from his pulpit and in a journal that he edited that flight in a contraction heavier than the air would be impossible. And indeed, it was against the will of God. Oh, the irony, because Bishop Milton Wright had two sons, Orville and Wilbur. Bishop Wright was wrong. Sure of himself, but wrong. And so were the Pharisees, and so is Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was trying to figure out who Jesus was. He described him in verse 2 as a teacher who had come from God. And his words suggest that he sees Jesus as a new heaven-sent interpreter of the law and the prophets. And on the surface, it sounds quite complimentary, doesn't it? But at a deeper level, it is combative, intending to challenge the very things that Jesus claims, Jesus' religious authority. And his words are intended to be a subtle mockery and rebuke. And so three times, Jesus will respond to Nicodemus, beginning with the words, truly, truly, as he attempts to show the way to the kingdom to Nicodemus. Now we find the first, truly, truly, and Jesus says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And so Jesus is saying that the reality of the kingdom of God is literally cut off from humanity without God's intervention. In other words, God has to reveal the kingdom to us. When God commissioned the prophet Isaiah, he was told that he would prophesy, but that the people would not respond. It didn't matter what he would say to them. The Israelites would be a people ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. They would be a people without spiritual revelation, a people without true understanding of God, even though they were God's covenant people. They would be no different than the nations around them. The Pharisees, too, were a kind of ignorant people. They loved their religion of laws, but they didn't know the kingdom of God. The great theologian Karl Barth once wrote, "Religion is the one great concern of godless man. In religion, man bolts and bars himself against revelation by providing a substitute for it." You know, religion can take various shapes, but it always consists of traditions, habits, rituals, and thought patterns that give structure to our lives and help us control the frenetic world around us. It provides a formula to live by, so if we just follow it, we can keep things under control. Religion can be explicitly religious, like our Anglican traditions, or they can just simply be good habits and practices that we have, like getting up and exercising every morning at 7 a.m., giving to those in need, or keeping our house clean. Religion gives us a sense of